This morning I'm bringing a word introducing you to the prophetic grace this morning. And the prophetic grace is that expectancy that we hear God revealing, speaking his heart to our heart, revealing his heart to our heart. And every single person in the room this morning, even online, you can come with expectancy because God wants to speak. God wants to meet with you. And he calls every single one of us to have an ear to hear what he says by his Spirit. I started a series a couple of weeks ago speaking about the grace gifts of Ephesians 4. And I stated that traditionally the church has functioned on just two gifts, that of the shepherd and the teaching gift. And the church has not had, if we are honest, much understanding about maybe the other three gifts, the apostolic, the prophetic, and the evangelistic gift. And of course, there are other gifts. You know, the gifts in Ephesians 4 are not the only gifts. There are other gifts talked about in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through to 14, we can find other gifts spoken about, other grace gifts. But what distinguishes the Ephesians 4 grace gifts is that they are specifically given, it says in the 12th verse of that fourth chapter, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Nowhere else does it say anything like that about any of the other grace gifts. And so that's what sets apart, if you like, these five grace gifts mentioned in Ephesians 4. I said as well a few weeks ago, the analogy of the church being like the body, and I asked the question, if we were to lose a vital organ, and I asked you if you remember to name five vital organs, could we survive without it? And we concluded that we couldn't. And likewise, it's exactly the same with the body of Christ. I believe those five grace gifts mentioned in Ephesians 4 for the equipping of the saints for works of ministry, the building of the body, are necessary. Every single one of them is vital for a healthy church. Amen? It's vital, you know, and if we have one missing or one that isn't in operation, then I want to suggest that actually we don't have a healthy church. My mum's gone to glory now, but many years ago, she was on, in the latter years of her life, she was on dialysis three times a week because her kidneys had failed, had packed up. And it meant that three times a week she would go into hospital and she would be connected to a machine that would take over or replace the function of her kidneys. The machine only worked and was only effective as long as she was connected to it. Now, why am I telling you that story? Because when we talk about the grace gifts, we can talk about them in two contexts. We can talk about them in terms of the fact that every single one of us who has the Spirit of God living in us, remember, the Spirit comes in whole, not in part, and therefore we have potentially all of those gifts are available to us. But just because we operate in a moment in the apostolic gifting or the grace or the evangelistic gifting or even the prophetic gifting, that doesn't make us an apostle. It doesn't make us an evangelist, and it doesn't make us a prophet. But from time to time, we can operate in those gifts. But when God calls us, he calls us to operate consistently in those gifts. A bit like the dialysis machine. The dialysis machine only worked on occasion when my mum was connected to it. When she wasn't connected to it, it wasn't functioning. Because the kidney, her kidneys, were designed to perform that function. And the body is the same. The body is the same. We have people that are called to function consistently in those graces, but each one of us, from time to time, can minister out of those graces. And there is a different, well, there is a difference between ministering out of those graces and being called to the office of apostle or prophet or evangelist or teacher or whatever. But the outcome is the same. And the thing is, God doesn't want the church, he doesn't want his church to be stuck in intensive care. He doesn't want his church to be attached, every now and again going back to the dialysis machine. He wants a healthy church where all those gifts are functioning consistently within the body. And in order to function well, we need as individuals to understand our place in the body. Let's read from 1 Corinthians 12 and let's see what Paul has to say in 1 Corinthians 12 about the body, about functioning and working together. And Paul says this, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make me any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hear would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? And it is there are many parts, yet one body." So all of us have a function. All of us have a part to play in the body in demonstrating the wholeness and the fullness of Christ Jesus. When people look at us, they need to see those gifts functioning in order to get a picture of a healthy church. Let's have a look at our key text this morning. And we're going back into Ephesians 4. So go with me into Ephesians 4. And you should remember, have your Bible, whether that's physical or electronic. I say week on week, don't come into the house without the Word of God. Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16. And this is just to remind us. And remember, we're talking about Christ Jesus. "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up." And last week we spoke about the apostolic grace, that the grace that is pioneering, that breaks new ground, the grace that extends kingdom, shakes things up, changes the status quo. And we talked about the apostolic grace functioning not just in the confines of church, which is where it's traditionally been placed, but we also talked about and looked at what that might look like functioning outside in daily life. And today, I want to introduce the prophetic grace. You know, I'm thankful that over the years, the prophetic grace has spoken into my life and into the life of this assembly. And no doubt the prophetic grace has spoken into your life as well. Whether that is someone who is operating for a moment or a time in that particular grace, or whether someone who has been recognized as a prophet has been tested and proven to be a prophetic or prophet, whether they've spoken in. But we have had, over a course of time, a number of prophetic words spoken into our lives. And I'm thankful for the prophetic. In fact, every time, and I've said this before, every time I stand on this platform, I should be speaking prophetically. I should be speaking prophetically, because what the prophetic does is the prophetic reveals the heart of God to our hearts. That's what it does. And so when I speak, I come with a sense that I'm trusting that I'm releasing what God Himself, by His Spirit, has released to me. The prophetic grace has been moments in our lives where there has been a communication of God's heart into our hearts and into our lives. Again, in 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says this: the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Upbuilding, encouragement and consolation. Let me ask you a question. Who wants to be encouraged this morning? Who wants to be built up? Because that's what the prophetic does. It encourages, it builds, it strengthens. But the prophetic also comes with its own unique set of challenges. You don't get, or rather it comes with its own challenges that you don't get with the other four grace gifts mentioned in Ephesians 4. And so because the prophetic grace has specific challenges, it tends to get shut down in church. Because the prophetic grace can be challenging if not stewarded well. The prophetic has a way of disrupting things and ruffling things up. And so I want to take a few moments to consider the prophetic grace. Otherwise, unless we consider the prophetic grace, there is a danger, a very real danger, that unconsciously we put up a sign that says, "No prophetic here." And I tell you, I want a church, I want a people that are prophetic. I want to be a part of a body of the body of Christ where we are constantly, consistently hearing the voice of God. And that doesn't always come from me. Amongst you this morning, there are those of you who are prophetically graced. And we'll look at what that might look like later on. 1 Corinthians 14:29 says this: let two or three prophets speak, and what? Let the others weigh what is said. Let the prophet speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If we don't do that, we are making a grave mistake. And grave is probably the appropriate term. If we do not weigh the prophetic word, we are making a grave mistake, because we are called to weigh it up. And again, this is one of the unique challenges of the prophetic grace, in that when we exercise it, the rest of the body are called to weigh what they hear. And how do we do that? Well, when we hear something, we ask some simple questions. Is it Christ-centered? Is the message gospel-centered? Is the teaching sound? Does it build, encourage, and equip the body? Those are some questions that we can ask of the prophetic gifting and know whether or not it's God himself. Of course, in 1 Corinthians, it's in the context. 1 Corinthians speaks in the context of the gathered church, where the office of prophet is at work. It's where there are recognized prophets within the gathered assembly, not just people who are exercising the prophetic grace. And we are not told by Paul, because he doesn't say anywhere else, we're not told by Paul to listen to the preaching of the word and to weigh it up. We're not told anywhere else to evaluate what is said, but we are with the prophetic. With the prophetic grace, we are explicitly told to weigh what we hear, because it carries a unique set of challenges. Now, I know some of you, for those of you who are astute, and you might be thinking, well, yeah, it does. The word does say that we're supposed to wait up. What about the Berean Christians? You remember Paul was preaching at Corinth and the Berean Christians listened to him, and it tells us that they then examined Scripture. But the point is this, they took it upon themselves to examine Scripture. They weren't instructed to examine Scripture. The prophetic is specifically and explicitly told we are to weigh the word. Acts 17:11 says, examining Scripture daily to see if these things were so. But they took it upon themselves to, if you like, examine the word, make sure that what they are saying is true. And it's something that I encourage you consistently to do. Don't just take my word or the word of anyone that stands on this platform. You have the word of God. You have the Spirit of God. You need to go back to the word of God and find out for yourself that what I tell you is actually what the word of God says. The word of God has to be, everything we say has to be Christ-centered. And the prophetic can be very powerful, but the prophetic can also be very dangerous. Because the prophetic can be dangerous, it's caused a number of people to distance themselves from the prophetic. To step back. Maybe they're scared. Maybe, you know, some people are afraid of what, you know, Holy Spirit will do. And so they sort of keep him at a distance because they're unsure what he might do or wants to do in their lives. And the prophetic is a little bit like that. People are not sure about the prophetic, what is going to happen, what it will look like, how it will manifest itself. And so some people have stepped back away from the prophetic, fearful of the possible dangers. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy wrote to the church in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 19 to 22, it says this, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. The body of Christ, to be healthy, needs not just the prophetic, but it needs all those grace gifts mentioned in Ephesians 4 to be a healthy church. Over the years, many recognized prophetic people have stood up and expressed what they believe to be the heart of God. Again, this is one of the dangers of a prophetic. If a teacher stands up and says something, I believe you might be inclined to think, I'm not sure about that. If an evangelist stood up and said, this is what I think God is saying, again, you might have some doubt. You might, I'm not sure about that. Even if an apostle stood up and said something, you might think, But when a prophetic individual stands up, when the prophetic voice speaks, what we hear is this: thus says the Lord. And so the prophetic carries a very real danger if it is not stewarded well. It has its unique challenges. And as a pastor, as a church leader, I want to say that the prophetic grace is probably one of the most difficult things or gifts to shepherd, because it has its unique challenges. There's been times, even in recent times, where people have come to me and they have said, I'm doing this, or I'm going here, or whatever. And then they caveat that, or they bookend it with, God has told me to make this decision. God has told me. And it's difficult to shepherd the prophetic gift. Because occasionally, very occasionally, I think when people say that, I think, well, this doesn't sound like a very good decision. Occasionally, I think, this doesn't sound very wise. Occasionally, I'll ask myself, did you take godly counsel before you arrived at this decision? But then the voice comes. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, who am I to question God? If they say that, God told me, who am I to question God? And so it makes it very, very difficult, the prophetic grace, to shepherd and to navigate. Over the years, there have been stories and moments and events where people have said, God has said this. And maybe it's not come true. Maybe you're one of those people where someone or has spoken into your life prophetically, and you are still waiting for the fulfillment of that prophetic word. Or it might even be that you've come to a place where you recognize that perhaps that word wasn't prophetic. It wasn't the heart of God at all. And so you've let it go. But the prophetic grace has its challenges. But the Bible, praise God, gives us an answer for that. And it tells us what the answer is. It says, weigh up the prophetic. Weigh it up. Don't close it down, but weigh it up. The fact that we are called to weigh things up doesn't restrict or close down or shut down the prophetic grace, but rather I think it opens up the prophetic grace amongst the people, because it brings an accountability. If we don't weigh up the prophetic grace, if we don't weigh up the prophetic voice, what happens is we give the prophetic too much power. And people have been afraid of what the prophetic, when not stewarded correctly, the damage that the prophetic can do. The prophetic, listen, the prophetic shouldn't be the only voice operating in the body of Christ Jesus for a healthy church. The prophetic, like the apostolic, like the evangelistic, or the teaching, or the shepherding, they are all co-dependent on the other graces to give balance and to keep them in check, to test and to prove the word of God. The prophetic is supposed to function as part of the body, even as Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians that we are all called to a function and a purpose within the body. So what is your grace? What is your grace gifting? Because you are called to bring it to the body in order that as a people, the church is healthy. If you happen, and I don't know, if you happen to know that you have a prophetic grace on your life, again, I've spoken about some of the dangers. And one of the dangers is that prophetic people sometimes feel that they should always have something new to say. That every time they speak, it's got to be something new. And if the prophetic grace is not stewarded well in the body, then the prophetic grace can come across when it's not stewarded well as being self-righteous. Because the prophetic is always that individual who sees something that no one else sees. The prophetic is always the one that has the revelation that maybe the rest of us need to catch up with. And so if the prophetic grace is not stewarded well, it can be misinterpreted and come across as being self-righteous. Because the prophetic, remember, is supposed to reflect the heart of God, not the heart of the individual. And so we are called to steward it well. Can we have the slide up on the screen, please, Daniela? The slide on the screen, there we go, the prophetic. So these are some of the things that the prophetic person might demonstrate. They are principled. They are highly principled individuals. They are justice-minded. They want to do the right things. They are advocates. They will stand in the gap when they see an injustice. They're the ones that will stand in the gap. They challenge the status quo. They are passionate. And those of you who know prophetic people, you'll know how passionate they can get. The prophetic are cause-driven. Give them something to fight for and they'll be there. They're reformers. They are truth tellers. Prophetic people will always speak truth to power. They're not afraid. Prophetic people are the ones who bring correction. When they see things going off track, the prophetic will always speak and say, well, you need to get back on track. And so the prophetic, if not stewarded well, like all the other grace gifts of Ephesians 4, if not stewarded well, can have its dangers. And so to prophesy, to be someone who exercises the prophetic grace, I would suggest the person must be in good relationship with the body of Christ. Guard against those people who breeze in, blow up and blow out, because the prophetic needs to be in relationship with the body of Christ. There are too many floating prophets going around, and the result of that is people are injured, they are hurt, and they are left feeling rejected. But to be prophetic and speak prophetically, you need to be in relationship with the body of Christ, because you can only speak into an individual's life out of relationship. The prophetic needs to be someone who has died to self. Remember, the prophetic voice is not the voice of the speaker, but the prophetic voice is the heart of God being revealed. And so it's necessary that the individual dies to self in order that he or she reveals the heart of God, reveals his love, not his judgment. And the thing is this, even when God's judgment is revealed, it's revealed out of a love that desires our hearts to turn back to his. When his judgment is revealed, it's always out of a sense of drawing us back into that place of being restored and reconciled back to himself. God always takes the initiative in communicating. The prophetic also needs to be accountable. You know, people are accountable when they say, "Yeah, I'm accountable," but then you say, "Well," you challenge them, you say, "Well, I'm not sure about this," and they take umbrage or offense, and they say, "Well, I'm going somewhere else. I'll go somewhere else. You know, if you're not willing to listen to me, I'll go somewhere else." That isn't accountability. But we are called to be accountable. The prophetic honors the Lord and his word and his nature. The prophetic declares the utter dependency and the utter faithfulness of God's character that is true and dependable. The prophetic is not called to be in isolation, but needs the other graces around them to challenge them. Let me just quickly talk about Jesus. Because Jesus, in Jesus, we can talk about all the grace gifts, but we remember for the equipping of the saints and ultimately to grow into maturity to look like Jesus. And Jesus was the full representation of God in the world. Jesus shows us and makes it possible for a new way to relate to God through a new covenant. Jesus claims us as his own through his sacrificial death. Jesus establishes his unique role as mediator and as high priest, representing us, his people, to the Father. Jesus creates a new humanity, the body of Christ, in himself. Jesus is the starter and the finisher, the author and perfecter, the Alpha and the Omega. Everything is in him. If we are to correctly steward these grace gifts, everything has to be centered in Christ Jesus. The identity, our purpose, and function of the church all centers around who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And so we're not looking for superstars. We're not looking for people who are out there. We are looking, God is looking for people who are centered in him, in his life, in his teaching. People who show what it means to live faithfully for the kingdom of God. People who understand that it's in Christ Jesus that we find our identity and our purpose. And so our identity is not defined by whether people call us apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, or teacher. That's not our identity. Our identity is found in Christ. Our purpose is not by what we do, but our purpose is found in and through Christ Jesus. Our authenticity is measured by the degree to which we conform to and represent Jesus. And so when we speak about these grace gifts and the other gifts that are mentioned elsewhere in Scripture, we cannot look at them in isolation, but we look at them through the lens of Christ Jesus. the one who is the template, as it were, of what we are called to look like and what we are called to be. Let me finish with this. A church that is shaped by the prophetic spirit will always be marked by a deep devotion to worship, a devotion to prayer, a readiness to engage in spiritual battle, a hunger for holiness, a passion for justice, and a life that bears witness to the world. A life that bears witness to the life of Jesus to the world. And so, as we continue to consider these grace gifts of Ephesians 4, I want to encourage you to seek the Lord. Ask him, Lord, what have you graced me in? What have you called? How have you called me to operate? How have you called me to function in the body? Remember, it's only when we work together in concert that we function. And every single one of us, every single one of us has a gift. Why? Because it reminds us, because we are told, let me just read it again, verse 12, we are given the gifts to equip the saints for work of ministry. And who are the saints? You are. I am. And so God has thoroughly equipped us for the work of ministry and to see kingdom come here on earth. Amen. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you feel that, if you sense, or you might even know, that either of your grace gifts is that of the apostolic, if you remember from last week, or that of the prophetic, I want you to just stand. I want to just pray over you if you feel that maybe you have a prophetic gifting that is yet to evidence or to mature. Don't be afraid. Thank you, Father. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, I simply ask, Lord, that as your word says, that it does not return to you empty, but I ask, Lord God, that it would effect that which you purpose it to in the lives of your people, to bring us into an increased maturity and conformity to the likeness of Christ Jesus. Amen.